There is no spot where God is not. This is Instant Illumination. Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. Now, how about that? There is no spot where God is not. I say, you could have said it in a more positive way. God is everywhere. Yeah. But it's a catchy little phrase. Mm-hmm. There is no spot where God is not. A lot of people say, I cannot say I am God, because that's blasphemy. I cannot say that I am God, because that means that I'm better than somebody else. I cannot say that I am God, because I cannot do the things that I think God can do. I cannot say that I am God, because God will throw a thunderbolt down me and throttle me if I do such a thing like that. Okay, let's just look at this for what it's worth. Where is God? Well, we say that God is all. God created everything. Before everything was, God was, okay? Before any earth creation, before any Genesis, God was. And God didn't have any earth. Maybe he had lots of earths that we don't even know about, but the earth that we know about wasn't here, but it was a thought in God's mind, so it was a reality. And so God spoke its word, and God said, let there be light, let there be people, you know, and let there be all these things. And so be it. There was. And then he claimed that everything was good and very good. Now that's kind of nice. At least he was a nice God. Okay. Now, where were you, you insignificant nothingness, where were you when God created all this stuff? You were right where you should be. You're right in the heart of God, in the soul of God, in the being of God, in the essence of God. And so when God created all things, you were right there watching. Not that you were separate or anything like that, but you were a part of that activity. So, you, what?
A part
of that activity. You were that activity. Well, Ellen wants to say that you were the allness of God. But how can you be the allness of God when you think of yourself as being an observer or an onlooker or something that observes what's going on? So, did you really observe what was going on?
No, I wasn't.
Now, if you was it, if you were it, then what was going on? You.
Right.
You were going on. Now, so you were God, or are God, or you is God. You're God. And now, what are you thinking this moment? Are you thinking, gee, I would like to speak my word and say I'm a multimillionaire, you know, boom, 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 boom. That'd be cute. Or I'd like to speak my word, and this body that I've placed my God self in is absolutely ideal, you know, in every way, shape, and form. People look at me and they say, man, you're the ideal. But people will look at you always and say about you what you believe about yourself. And so when you start thinking that you are absolutely wonderful and good and perfect, when you start thinking that you are the ideal that you are, then your creation will see you that way. But you see your creation exactly like you see yourself. Now, how did God see its creation?
Good and very good.
In other words, there was no messing around. God didn't see some half wits and some whole wits. God saw all wits. Everybody was perfect. Okay, there is no place where God is not. So, now, when you know this, then what do you start doing? I had a little picture. I'm in perhaps a Discovery magazine. And it's a picture taken in Japan. And it was a picture taken in the Japan elementary school. And every child in the elementary school did their studies in arithmetic, their studies and this and this. And every child in the elementary school was given a violin. And then they stood there in front of the instructor with the violin in their hand and did what the instructor did. And the instructor would lift his leg and shake it, and they'd lift their leg and shake it. And the instructor would run his bow across the strings of the violin, and they'd run their bow across. And then the instructor would say, "Sweetly, sweetly, sweetly," and then they would run it sweetly until their ears felt very harmonious with what was coming out. And that went on for a period of time, and then they put their violins away and went on to the next class. The Japanese have a great desire to have the musical sensitivity of their children extremely enlarged to its highest and best. And so they teach the children to be comfortable with music. And they let the children hear what they consider is good music. It may be different than our Western ears choose, but they let them hear what they consider good music. And the children hear this, and then they have the instrument in their hand, and some of the children of the Japanese people, the children, this is not a perfect statement, but it's in the right direction. 70 to 80% of the children in Japan have perfect pitch. Now that's not true, but it's some high outrageous number like that. And in Western civilization, it is only 6 or 7%
wow.
who have perfect pitch. Yes, and it's very, very amazing. If I run across that article again, I'll bring it out. But it's very unique. Now, why do they have perfect pitch? Because their parents think they do. Because they teach them that they know the pitch. They let them hear the music. Now, how many times do youngsters in Western society hear classical music or good music? You know? Very seldom. And how my boy heard it all the time because that's what all I listened to, and that's what he heard. And he didn't say it was good or bad. He just listened to it, and that was what he had taken on as his customary type of music. He likes it. Although he didn't handle it too well because he created himself a bunch of people working for him in his airplane factory who liked the standard brand of music. And so they play that on the radio out in the shop, and he has to hear that. And I said, well, turn on the radio in your own office with the proper music in it. But you see, he can create the kids in the shop. Excuse me, I wasn't meaning you to get up here. He can create the kids in the shop to instantly be interested in the finer music, however one might classify that. I'm sure that if you and I were raised in hard rock, you might say, we might appreciate it. But since we weren't, we were raised in soft rock. We were raised in another type of music. Every generation, the parents say, my God, what's becoming of our children, you know? And then think of the children who are having their children, and then the children who are having their children, and each generation is thinking the same silly thought. Instead of saying, it's interesting how there's a expansion of consciousness in music and how these children are having new ideas and new concepts and new ways. And yet, when people go to Juilliard Music School and other music schools in New York School of Music and all over the world, at La Scala School of Music and wherever they have them, why are they taught the classical music? Why are they taught musicology? And musicology is the study of music and how it is formed and what it means. And so Sylvia's sitting here thinking, should I let it ring? Sure, let it ring. That way we'll listen to it. It's probably Brian. But the point is, we have the opportunity to be so brilliant in so many areas, but we have not caused ourselves to be brilliant. We have not caused ourselves to look at the possibilities. And because we haven't caused ourselves to look at the possibilities, we haven't realized what possibilities we can reach, what possibilities we can arrive at. And we can arrive at so many wonderful possibilities. Because there is no place where God is not. We are God, and we are everywhere. And the sooner we start taking responsibility for being God and enjoying being God, then we start expressing more and more of our God nature. I think it's very important for us to appreciate the fact that there is no place where God is not. Say it with me. There is no place where God is not. Now, you know what you just said? God is in the dumbest things in the universe as well as the smartest things in the universe. God is in the most ugly, or as we might call it, the most unacceptable music, and God is in the most acceptable music. Now, does God think the unacceptable music is less acceptable than the acceptable music?
No.
No, because that's Him. That's Him. That's God. That's us. That's what God is.
She.
There you go. The she. God is all that there is. So God is this raucous, hard rock music, or whatever things are playing nowadays. I'm not really paying that much attention. But whatever those things are, that's God. That's God expressing. And if these people who are doing it, and I don't think we have to say that, if these people who are doing it appreciate that, they'll not be unhappy. I would say if other people would appreciate that the people who are making this music are being God and expressing their God self as that music that they're expressing, we might look at the music a little differently. We might look at the music and say, God certainly expresses itself in many, many ways. I certainly express myself in many, many ways. And think about that, because there's no place where God is not. God is in Rex, our wonderful pup here. I mean, Rex is so super. He has caused himself to be born with genes and chromosomes of a golden retriever. Now, there are a few things about a golden retriever that are not perfected yet, and Rex is going to perfect that. But the perfect things he's already got. He has a perfect coat of hair, which rejects dirt. Dirt gets on it for a short time, and poof, it's gone. He rejects water. Water gets on him. He loves the water. He loves the water. And then he comes out, he shakes a little bit, and he runs around, and you reach to touch him, he's dry. And you touch his under fur, it's dry. He's amazing. And he eats his dog food. He remains in the perfect shape that he has. And we give him a little treats now and then, more than we should perhaps. But we give him little treats, and he still maintains his perfect figure. He doesn't get overweight. You say, well, he's only a year and 2 months, 3 months old. Yeah, that's true. But that's what our visualization is of him, and that's what his visualization is of him. Everything is God. Now, the honey jar is sitting on the table here, and the honey jar is God, and the honey jar has its cap open right now. So the honey jar is sitting on the table with its cap open. So God is sitting on the table as the honey jar with its cap open. And we think to ourselves, now someone forgot to put the cap down. Well, maybe God, as the honey jar, didn't want the cap down at that moment. And that's why it left the cap up. Because we only do what we as God want done to us. So now, how do you want people to look at you, God? Do you want people to look at you and say, what a perfect ideal being. What a glorious being. What a wonderful being. Is that how you want your world that you've created to look at you? Then you have to look at yourself that way. Now, you look at yourself and say, I'm really wonderful. And not by comparison, but I'm really wonderful. I'm better than that God over there. No, you can't say that. Or that God over there is better than me. You can't say that. You can say, well, now that God gives me some new thoughts to think about. They're expressing some beautiful aspects. That God likes to jog, and I like to jog, but I've never done it. Now, I like to jog like that person likes to jog because they make it look like it's such fun, you know? And so I do it. And I like to swim like these people swim because they make it look like so fun, you know? And it's great. It's great. You know, I oftentimes think about the Johnny Weissmuller films of Tarzan and how he would be swimming in the jungle and he would be diving in and there'd be an alligator down there or something. And here it is, the jungle. And here he's in these pure, pure pools of water in the jungle, you know, where there's just naturally, naturally weeds and fish and other things swimming around. And there's only a perfect clear sand bottom. And, you know, if you know anything about the jungle, if you've ever been in the jungle, and it's kind of fun, but if you've ever been in the jungle, the jungle has a lot of muddy bottoms and a lot of muddy rivers and stuff like that running around. And hey, that's God too. But Johnny Weissmuller wanted to swim, and he wanted to swim in clean, pure water, and he wanted to be able to open his eyes underwater, and he didn't want to do that down in the African jungle where there are snakes and lizards and leeches and roaches and everything else swimming around. So they had a private swimming pool for him and made it look like it was in Africa. Now, why not? Why not? Did you disbelieve? No.
No.
You watched the film and you said, naturally, Johnny Weissmuller will be swimming in a perfect pond. And naturally, Cheetah, his sidekick, the little chimpanzee, you know, would be as good as it was, you know. And the cheetah would go, cheep, 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 you know, try to get attention. That's God expressing. That's Johnny Weissmuller expressing God as that because he was playing the game of being Tarzan. And naturally, Tarzan would have to have a Jane. And he goes to Jane, he says, me Tarzan, you Jane. And, you know, what a wonderful world. There's no place where God is not. Even in the toenails of Rex. And I see Rex's toenails always perfect.
Perfect.
As he runs up and down the mountainside and as he runs over the rocks and he just has a ball. And he's a master. And you and I are too. There's no place for God is not. So today, why don't we start taking credit for the fact that we're God. And now, what do we conceive God of being? Limited, poor, sick, and all that nonsense. That's okay. But is that the aspect of God you want? Is that the commodity of God you're taking from the store of the universal consciousness, you know? Here you have the storehouse of all. Everything exists already. There's nothing new under the sun. So you go to the storehouse, and you say to the storekeeper, I have a nice body right now, but I'm thinking of having a nicer body. And I'd like to have a body with muscles and with form and strength and perfection, every cell of my body perfect and every function of my body perfect. And the storekeeper said, well, look, I don't know what your problem is, but I look at you and I see you in an already perfect body. I see you everything in ideal shape. And you say, my goodness, how can you do that, storekeeper? Because the storekeeper says, that's all I deal with here, are perfect bodies. I don't deal with imperfect. Next door is the imperfect body store, but I don't deal with them. I can't, because if I deal with imperfect bodies, then I'll have an imperfect body. Now, you come to the perfect body store, and by coming to the perfect body store, you have laid aside the imperfect body, and you have taken on the image of the perfect. Look at yourself. Look at yourself. You cannot come into this store of perfect bodies and not be a perfect body. Now look, stand in front of the mirror. Take your clothes off. Look at, naked. Aren't you a beautiful person? My God! You know, why do you ever want to dress that beautiful body? And, well, because I have fun with clothes. I have fun with doing all these things. It's kind of nice. Yeah, I know, I do the same thing. So, you see, this is the wonderment of it. If we could be just as frivolous, as casual, as unperturbed by anything, just recognizing, hey, what I see, I am, right?
Yes.
What I see, I am. What I see in my consciousness is what I experience. So, as God, I can see the other, or I can see this. And we don't say they don't exist. We just say, I choose. That's what freedom of choice is about. I choose this aspect of my divinity to express. Now, when do you want to start? Yesterday, huh? Okay.
Yeah, now.
It's done. It's done right now. So, take that and run with it. There is no place where God is not. We'll probably play with these subjects many, many more times because they're fun. Mm-hmm. But just remember, if you're going to go into a class department store to pick up your clothing is going to be class. Your clothing is going to have long life. Your clothing is going to be ideal. Your clothing is going to be fitted perfectly to you. You go into the standard clothing store, Sears, Montgomery Ward's, or whatever, and Walmart, and whatever. Their clothing is on-the-rack clothing, so to speak. And so, if you have this type of body, and then you get that type of clothing. Now, maybe the most of the people like, they have longer arms than you. So you get in there, and the clothing hangs off the end of your arm. But you just take it home and tailor it yourself or have it done. But the thing is, what store are you going into? Are you going into the class store? Or are you going into the standard store? Nothing wrong with Walmart. Nothing wrong with those stores. They're just fine. Wherever you want to go. Whatever you want to do. And can they have the clothes fitted to you perfectly in Walmart too?
Sure.
Anything can be done. You pay the price, and anything can be done. So, by the time you get done in Walmart, paying for clothes to fit you perfectly, you could have gone to the classy store and had it been perfect from the start. But, c'est la vie, that's life. Yeah. So, there is no place where God is not. And I want you to remember that. And I remember that. Because I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.